Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Modsy, who can create a lifelike 3D model of your room and two design plans complete with real products from real stores that you can actually buy. It's just $69 and you can even get 20% off your first order at modsy.com/YHL. That's modsy.com/YHL. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're sharing some of our biggest beach house stress outs and what we did to help ourselves catch our breath. We also get some pro advice for simplifying household cleaning, and we test our expertise in all things IKEA.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Happy mid-May.
The Ides of May.
John's half birthday.
Oh, yes. Everyone, don't forget to celebrate John.
Yes. Now that we finished celebrating our children.
I know. They come rapid fire. And then there's John's half birthday, which nobody can forget about.
Well, and for my half birthday, I would like to unload a little bit about the beach house.
Good segue.
Yeah. How about that?
For my birthday, I would like to whine.
Right. I'd like to do my favorite thing. So indulge me. No, I felt like we talk a lot about the beach house and all the exciting sort of progress that's being made over there. We've shared lots of pictures of the exterior because it's come along a lot in the last few weeks and it's almost looking like finished-ish.
Right, on the outside. On the inside, not so much.
Yeah, and the inside is starting to have some stressful moments. Like, yes, this has all been very fun and exciting and we've shared a lot of the exciting things, but like I wanted to be real that it is stressful also.
Right. Keeping it real. Credit cards on hold all the time. They always think someone is stealing our credit cards and buying a bunch of stuff at a hardware store or at a decorating store. It's just us buying stuff for the beach house constantly.
Well, basically, we got to this place where a few weeks ago, they were starting to do the electrical and the plumbing rough in. And that's basically where you have the electrician and the plumber come and put all the pipes and all the wires in. And to do that, they need to know where everything is going. Like, I want a light fixture here. I want a switch here. I want a toilet here. You know, the important things.
Yeah, and I think we shared a blog post about it, and we probably did a good job representing how many decisions there are. I mean, you're literally deciding which way the door is going to swing because you can't have the door swing open and cover a light switch. You have to map out your whole kitchen layout to find out exactly where the island will land so that your pendants over the island make sense and aren't to the left or to the right. So there's a lot of, like, projecting what you think will happen and standing there in the moment and thinking, oh, I really hope I'm getting it right.
It's called planning, Sherry. And we have done a lot of planning over the months as how we want this house to look and come together. But this is like we have to be a bit more precise about like literally to the inch where things are going and what that thing is going to look like. For instance, our contractor was saying like, I need to know what all of your plumbing fixtures look like so that we can rough them in and have the templates. And like for the showers and stuff that might have a special valve that goes in to control it, like he needs that valve now.
And guess what? There's not just a universal valve that goes behind the wall that fits with any handle. You know the handle you turn to turn your shower on? So we can't just say, just go ahead and put in
the
all
usual.
The usual valves. Yeah. There's not a usual valve. He has to know, oh, you're using this model and make of this handle for that valve to correlate. And so gone are the days where we're just pinning things and saying, this bathroom will be so cool. Maybe we'll do a glass shower wall there. Or this bathroom's going to be really fun because we'll do a patterned tile. Those days are gone. The days that we're at now are what exact item are you buying? And guess what? A lot of the things I mapped out for months in those beautiful days of pinning, they're out of stock. So when the contractor is saying, I need the valve now, I'm going to order it and rush it and get it. And they just say like, we'll be back in stock June 20th.
That's basically one of the big stresses we had over the last few weeks was our contractor gave us notice right before we went on spring break that he needed these items. And we were like, okay, cool. We've already got them kind of planned out.
Yeah, and he gave us enough notice. He was like, in like 10 days, I'll need it. Don't worry about it.
Well, we went to hit order and it was like, yes, these things are out of stock or these things have like a long lead time for delivery. And so suddenly, I would say what, like maybe 25-33% of our items wouldn't work anymore. Enough so that we had to basically reconfigure several things in several rooms.
And so in some cases, it was just like, oh, the like things you were pinning or dreaming about, the reality was like, no, I don't think you can even fit a standard size vanity. You're going to need something narrower than 24 inches. Oops, all the things I pinned were 24, some are 40, you know? So it was back to the drawing board with some things just based on size restrictions, some of them based on stock issues. And the thing I like to tell everyone who thinks it's glamorous is, it is. There's no denying it.
The thing I'd like to say is, yes, this is glamorous.
It is fun, but I would contend that it's really fun to pick light fixtures for one room. Maybe buying three light fixtures. It's fun to look for three light fixtures. But when you're tasked with finding, say, 20 light fixtures, and some are for the hallway and some are for over the dining table, and that has to work with whatever's over the island. So those pendants and the dining lights have to work together. And, oh, what's in the living room? Because that's also in the same line of view. It can go from really, really fun to suddenly feeling like the biggest undertaking. Sometimes we're convinced we ordered the wrong fixture or the wrong faucet. Sometimes we're psyched when something arrives and it looks even better than we imagined. It's like a roller coaster of emotions.
Not to be overdramatic, but yeah. But we do know this is all like laying the groundwork for the inside to come together and look as exciting and finished as the outside has become. So we know it means good things. And actually, the other thing that was helpful in all this kind of stressful moments we were having recently ordering this stuff is that we actually had to drive out there to deliver some things to the plumber because he needed it like the next day.
Yeah, we were like, we could overnight ship it and it would be more money than gas, or we could actually go out and see the house and check on it. So that made more sense.
Well, and also we realized we could go out on the weekend. It was supposed to be a nice day and we could take the kids with us. And it ended up being a great kind of reminder as to why we are doing all this, because it was actually the first time that we went back there in warm weather since we bought the house and could actually like experience Cape Charles as the beach town that we always enjoyed it. Like, we took both kids with us. We brought the beach chairs and snacks and got in our bathing suits. And it was like an 85 degree day at the end of April.
Yeah, it was perfect.
And we had a beach day. It was like 3 hours where they got to play in the water and we sat and lounged. And it was this nice kind of reminder that all this stress is worth it. Will be worth it.
Yeah, I think it's already worth it. I think we needed that. And it's probably a good tip for anyone who's dealing with like the middle. You know, we wrote a post a really long time ago that says the middle makes no sense. I still think the middle is the hardest part of any project. It's when you haven't fully seen things come to fruition. So you have all these questions and you're second guessing yourself and it's uglier than when it started.
Yeah, things are the most chaotic.
Right. Your house is full of things. I mean, another thing we haven't really explained is our current house where we live every day is in a state of disarray because...
filling up with boxes.
Right. Things like your vanities are arriving and they're coming here and then eventually you're going to have to get them to the beach house.
Guys, I'm seriously thinking we need to get a storage unit.
No, he's not.
Half seriously.
You're still a storage unit curmudgeon.
But I understand it now. I'm like, okay.
Right. That would be why someone might get one short term. But it was this nice break going to the beach in the neighborhood that we're going to go to with our children for many, many years and saying like, this is the beach we'll always come to, guys, and like run around. And they had a great time and we had a really good time.
And we could imagine what it would be like to actually have a house to go back to shower and clean up and spend the night rather than have to like get in the car all messy and go home.
Yeah, that would have been even better because the car is full of sand. But it was worth it. So anyone who's in the middle, we know how it feels. This is our way of sort of reminding everyone that as fun as something looks from the outside, it is not always all sunshine and roses, but it's worth it. And we already feel like it's going to be worth it. And this is not to complain, but to...
I'm complaining.
I was going to say commiserate, but that like little beach trip in the middle of it was a little bright spot that helps us remember why we're doing it. And I also have a little update. Since I'm getting asked a ton from you guys, we actually did...
Wait, do I need to play the update music?
No, it's not that big of an update.
Okay.
It's a mini update. We have been getting a lot of questions from you guys on the podcast line about what we're doing for photo books. And many of our followers from back in the day know that for like almost a decade, we've been ordering these photo books from my publisher, which is just this company we found ourselves and really like.
No, Katie Bauer recommended to us.
Oh, you're right. But it's just this company we paid our own money for and we loved. And we kept showing you guys, like, this is such a good alternative to photo albums because the money you spend printing photos and then buying albums is much more money than you spend getting a book made. And they're beautiful with these cool layouts. And we even, in the beginning of each one of ours, do like a year recap with like the highlights on a page.
Yeah, like every year we would make a family yearbook, we called it, in January to recap the previous year.
Exactly. But then, you guys, we got this terrible email that was like, hi, we're my publisher. Sorry to say we're closing. And then not only did we mourn, but it felt like all of our followers mourned because we got hundreds of emails and messages on Instagram and Facebook. And now we're even getting voicemails on the podcast about what we're going to do. And we did sort of ask for people's feedback or ideas on Instagram and Facebook maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
What seemed to be the front runners of all the reactions were Blurb and mix books. They both got really good recommendations. There were others that got lots of votes, but some of them were polarizing. For example, Shutterfly got a lot of votes, but it also had a lot of people saying they didn't like it. They tried it and didn't like it.
But we're just going to wait till January to make a decision, because who knows what kind of other changes might happen.
Yeah, like, say we say we're picking Blurb and then Blurb goes out of business in like July.
Well, they might change their format or add a new product. Who knows? So we're sort of like, why go through the trouble of creating sort of like a fake book just to test it out right now in May, when we won't actually need it till January when we make our next yearbook.
I'm not ready to get remarried after my publisher broke my heart.
We still need some mourning time.
I need a little time away from these photo books.
Just going to start a new stack. It'll be fine.
Yes. But the update for everyone wondering is that we are very sad and we are looking into other options. And when we make a choice at the end of this year or the beginning of next year, we will definitely tell you guys all about it.
But in the meantime, I would like to give you a quiz. Okay, so do I need to explain the rules here? Are you guys used to it by now?
John's going to say a whole bunch of things that are real. One of them's fake. I just pick out at what point he's looking me in the eyes sweetly and lying to me.
Yes, I'm going to give Sherry a list of things in a certain category. One thing I've made up, and she just has to tell me what's real in that category and what's not. This week's quiz comes from an article from Apartment Therapy entitled, How Many of the 10 Best-Selling IKEA Items Do You Own?
Oh, I'm going to be good at this.
Apparently, the folks at Apartment Therapy reached out to IKEA and said, hey, what are your best-selling items? And they gave them 10.
Okay.
But you're going to tell me which from this list is not one of IKEA's bestsellers.
Okay.
I will give you the IKEA name, and I can also describe it for you if you'd like.
Oh, I'm very fluent in IKEA.
Oh, are you familiar with number one, the Poang?
Yes, that's the bouncy chair. It's like a wood arm chair with a fabric cushion. A lot of women use it for nursing in a nursery of a small room.
Correct. Although that's not the game we're playing.
I feel like your correct sound effect for this one should be Poang.
Number two on the list, the Stockholm rug.
That I know. I think it's the black and white one. Am I right? Those both sound like super bestsellers. Yeah. I'm sold on both of those.
That's kind of that black and white rug where it's like stripes kind of offset a little bit.
And it's been in domino. Like it goes high-low. This is not just bad IKEA. This is good IKEA.
The Doxta table.
The Doxta table is the one that's like a tulip table. It's a ripoff of, I believe it's pronounced the Syrian.
Don't ask me. We're both terrible at pronouncing things.
We're really bad at this. It's a white tulip table. I've considered it for the beach house. It's very cute.
Okay, the Wrens.
Oh, I know Wrens. It's a curtain, isn't it?
Nope.
What is Wrens? Wrens. Is it like a garbage can?
The sheepskin rug.
Oh, I know the Wrens. Okay, so that I believe as well.
And the last one, the Pokal. You're not going to know this one. It's a clear glass.
It's the one that's sold out.
No, it's not the ones that we own.
Oh. Because I was going to say, that's your bogey because they no longer sell them.
So that's your list. The Poang, the Stockholm, the Doxa, the Wrens, and the Pokal. Which is not on the list of their best-selling?
I mean, I believe the glass because I think a lot of people just run in there and fill their rental houses and their beach houses and their real houses with IKEA glassware. I feel like maybe you planted the Wrens. Because some people like a sheepskin and some are kind of grossed out by a sheepskin. And what was the second one?
The Stockholm.
Okay, I'm between the Stockholm and the Wrens. I'm going to say it's the Wrens is the fake one.
You're wrong.
Man, is it the Stockholm?
No, it's the Pokal.
The Pokal?
The glass.
Oh, come on. That was such an obvious weird one that I let it slide.
Well, it was not on this list that IKEA provided Apartment Therapy.
Were there other glassware on there?
No, there actually weren't. Oh. You want to know the other five?
Yeah.
Well, what is the obvious one
Expedite.
That I did? Well, that one's discontinued. So
I know, but now it's called the Kallax, yeah, which Kallax, is the same whatever. Thing. What else?
It holds books. It's named after a boy. Billy.
Oh, the Billy bookcase.
Yeah, the Billy was on there. Lack tables.
Of course.
Ektorp sofa.
Yep.
And Ribba frames.
My gosh, I should have just gone with my instinct. The only name I did not know or have never heard of and has never been in any of these roundups is that weird glass, and I let it slide. Well, now let's take a second and explain all the things we get from IKEA pretty chronically. I love their big white planters. I use them a lot even for fake fiddly figs, for real fiddly figs. They're all over the house. We also have the old Expedit, which now is Kallax, that we wrapped in wood in our son's room. That has been going strong. He's over 3 years old. It's still kicking. We also love their white duvets. They sell a really big, white duvet, and we've used them. We have one in the guest room. We have one in our room. We've used them in so many places. If you're staging your house to sell, they're a great place. Pick up white duvets and white towels. That's one of my staging tips.
You know what surprised me was not on their list?
What?
Their kitchen cabinets.
Oh, maybe they don't consider that because they're not furniture.
I almost threw it in there as the fake one.
What would you call those? What's the name? Well, I guess.
Oh, I forget the name of it now.
Yeah, they changed the name. It used to be Skell Section. S-E-K-T-I-O-N.
Yeah, I forget what they're called now.
I almost said Skeletor.
They're called skeletons. Oh, and I forgot to mention the mom bed was on there. We used to have a mom bed.
And what about mom dresser? No?
It was not on this list.
Huh. I think IKEA is awesome for staples. I don't think you should ever get your whole house from IKEA just because there are so many other places to add variety and I love a mixed look. But I definitely am not one of those people who's like, after you turn 35, you can't have anything from IKEA. I think IKEA does a great job. And I also think they make some junky things that fall right apart. So it's hit or miss.
So I'll put this whole list up on younghouselove.com/podcast in the show notes so you guys can look at the top 10 best-selling items from IKEA. And if you didn't understand any of Sherry's descriptions based on the names, there are photos of them as well as photos of them in use.
You know what else I'm digging? The Mockleby. Do you know that one? It's a big wood table.
This is not worth digging, Sherry.
Mockleby table. Look it up. It's kind of expensive. I think it's like $6.99 or $5.99. It's a beautiful, big, solid wood table with like a trestle base. It looks lovely.
Oh, that's what you want for the beach house?
I've eyed it for our house or the beach house. Like maybe our table here goes to the beach house and we get the Mockleby.
Oh, swapping out the Crate and Barrel table for the IKEA table.
I don't know. You never know.
Also, feel free to tell us how many of those names we mispronounced.
Probably all of them.
It's become a running theme of this podcast now.
Like, what are John and Sherry saying wrong this week?
And I'm not sure if this next part officially qualifies as like kind of Mother's Day themed-ish.
I feel like it's not.
Kind of a stretch.
It's about cleaning. It's like, happy Mother's Day, clean something.
No, that's not what I'm intending to say. But we got such a great response from our episode 39, where we talked to Melissa Maker from Clean My Space, that we wanted to talk to another cleaning expert. And so we spoke with Becky from cleanmama.net. She has over 100,000 followers on Instagram. She's also got a new book out. And so we thought we could get even more cleaning tips from her. And I said, Clean Mama. That's the connection to Mother's Day.
Oh, I get it now.
Mama,
I thought you were like,
mother.
Happy Mother's Day. Here's a microfiber cloth. Get busy.
No, I was trying not to be condescending.
Well, and I also think it is a Happy Mother's Day if you learn a tip or two that makes cleaning easier. And that's what we loved so much about talking to Melissa Maker. So I'm sure Becky's going to have a lot of good tips for us. So let's give her a call.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, guys.
You talk a lot about people getting overwhelmed by cleaning. How should people avoid that feeling?
I mean, as much as I love the internet, it has really ruined a lot of because you're aspiring for something that's not even attainable. So being a little bit more realistic and giving yourself some grace so that you're not feeling overwhelmed. And don't put 30 things on your to-do list. Put 3 and try to get to those 3. And then the next day, put 3 more. Or if you didn't get it all done, then add it to the next day and, you know, don't let it pile up.
Well, and that's something that's, I think, really interesting about the approach that you take with everyone on your site, because it's really about like designating tasks for different days and kind of like this ongoing process versus like Saturday is my clean the house day.
Yeah, I have designated tasks for different days of the week. So Monday is bathrooms day. Tuesdays is dusting days. Wednesday is vacuuming day. Thursday is floor washing day. And then Friday is the day to catch up. So if I didn't clean the bathrooms on Monday, I can do it on Friday, or I can just wait until the next week and do it the following Monday. I found that when you're keeping up with a cleaning routine, you can miss a week and it's not the end of the world. Things don't look totally chaotic because you've been keeping up with things all along. Once you start doing the routine, you'll find that it does just take minutes a day because you're keeping up with it. And if you're picking up clutter every day and putting things away where they belong, it's a simple maintenance.
Right. So along with those daily tasks, you also have daily maintenance that you think everyone should just be doing like every evening before bed or when they wake up.
Yep. Those daily tasks are like make beds. And now not everyone wants to make their beds.
That's my favorite thing. I love making my bed.
He's a weirdo.
If you have a simple process and you don't have a zillion pillows and like lots of blankets and all these different things, it only takes a minute just to pull the comforter cover up. So I think definitely making the beds, picking up clutter, doing a quick tidy with your kids at night before bed so that they're picking up their toys and putting things away. And then the last one is I do a load of laundry every day. So sometimes people like gasp in shock, but we have no problem doing at least one load of laundry every day. And it's not like 2 t-shirts that I'm washing. It's a full load of laundry.
Well, and actually speaking of laundry, I noticed, you know, throughout your new book, you've got a bunch of like little quick tips. And I thought some of them were interesting because they don't necessarily mean this is how you clean better, but this is how you set yourself up to make your routines easier. And one of my favorite ones was speaking about laundry. You said, to just buy all matching socks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to use that time to match and fold socks together. Like, they will automatically all be matched. Just put them in a basket even and just pluck out two socks when you're ready.
Exactly.
I wondered if you had any other favorite quick tips like that from your book.
Another one of my favorite quick tips is to not use a top sheet on the bed. So we just use the fitted sheet and then either a duvet cover on a comforter or a quilt. It's so simple because the kids can pull their comforter or their duvet up, put the pillows on, and it's done. And I had to live with it to actually appreciate it. But I love that. And it saves time when you're putting the sheets on the bed. It saves time when you're making the bed. It's just an all around time saver.
So it seems as if like half the world believes in the really expensive vacuum, like buy the Dyson, it will change your life. And then the other half of the world is like, my Shark or my whatever is just fine. And so I wonder, being like the pro cleaner that you are, what is your vacuum?
Well, I have a few.
Oh, you're a collector.
I'm a collector. But the vacuum that I paid my own money for that I wasn't testing for a brand is the Miele, M-I-E-L-E. I think it's the Pet Hair or the Pet Upright. But I just did, interestingly enough, I have a Facebook private group. And I just did a poll, like, what's your vacuum cleaner? But only say what your vacuum cleaner is if you absolutely love it and would recommend it. Like, the Shark was, like, off the charts. Like, that was what everyone loved. But I have had a number of Dysons, which work great, and I've always loved them. But I am sick of the canister and the dirt flying everywhere. So after doing a lot of research with vacuum cleaners and HEPA filters and airborne allergens and all those sorts of things, the Miele was the one that came out on top.
And so does it have a bag, not a canister?
It has a bag.
Oh, back to the bag.
Back to the bag. Yeah, my best friend has one of those. I never know how to say it. I think she says Miele, but maybe I have no idea how you really say it. But she loves it.
Yeah. Well, and the canister one, the one that looks like the mouse, that's perfect if you have all hard floors. It works the way a vacuum should work.
Do you have any favorite natural cleaning recipes that you like to use?
So my favorite is a nightly sink scrub. It's a little bit more all-purpose than just for sinks because you can use it to scrub a lot of different things, and you can even use the powder part to freshen a mattress or to sprinkle on your carpet and then vacuum. But I just use 2 cups of baking soda, which is just one of those little boxes, and 20 to 30 drops of essential oil. And I like lemon and clove. That's my favorite combination. I put it in a mason jar and then keep it under the kitchen sink. And then at night, when I'm cleaning the sink, I'll sprinkle a little bit in the bottom of the sink. And then I'll give a squirt of my dish soap. And then I scrub it and you rinse it off. And the sink is like shiny and beautiful.
I love that idea that you keep the powder under the sink and you can literally like sprinkle it over the rug and vacuum it. Or how would I do it in a mattress? I would obviously take all the sheets off. I'd sprinkle it over the mattress. Do you let it sit for a while?
You can let it sit for like 15 to 30 minutes. And I would recommend using like a little sifter.
Oh, gotcha. Like the same thing you'd put like powdered sugar on a cake with.
Exactly. Because you don't want it to be like clumped.
Gotcha.
So you kind of sprinkle it over the mattress, let it freshen it for, like I said, 15 to 30 minutes. And then you can use, like, if you have an upholstery attachment for your vacuum cleaner, you can use that to suck it up. I do have a blog post on that too.
Oh, cool. We'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes.
We'll link to that in the show notes. What's a spot that you think people forget to clean? And if they clean it, you know, like you're reminding them this place they never clean, and then they're going to clean it and feel like on top of the world, like my house has never been so clean because I cleaned that secret spot.
Like the top of my mattress. I wasn't even thinking
about
that.
Yeah, I know. We never clean our mattress. So now I'm going to go do that.
A couple of things come to mind. The top of doors, vents. They're so easy to clean, but they're definitely forgotten. The other thing is bases of toilets. When I talk about cleaning toilets, you spray the entire toilet, the back, the tank, the seat, and then that area behind the toilet, around the toilet, and underneath the toilet.
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's the part where we're like, biohazard.
Right.
What is one of your favorite cleaning tools?
I love cleaning with microfiber. I think that, I mean, that would probably be like, if someone said, what's one thing that you couldn't live without? It would probably be like microfiber cloths, because I love how they clean lint free. I also love like a microfiber duster they work so great to get into like the nooks and crannies, and they move. I mean, you can just zip through your house so quickly with a microfiber duster over like a feather duster, because I think feather dusters kind of spread the dust, but the microfiber actually kind of grabs it and holds on to it.
But you're not talking like a Swiffer duster.
No, I'm talking like a washable microfiber duster. Like I'll shake it outside and then keep dusting and then shake it and keep dusting. And then I'll wash it. I might go 2 weeks of dusting before I actually toss in the wash, but you can wash them and dry them and then put them right back on.
This is all news to me. I have to go look this up.
We have a feather duster, and now I'm like, man, I'm so JV about this whole cleaning thing.
The feather duster is like if you're in a movie, Dustin. That's how you look.
Exactly.
Well, they look prettier.
Well, I'm always like, well, I have weird things, like so many pictures on the wall or like bookcases full of stuff. And I always tell people, dude, you can just run that feather duster real fast over everything. And yes, the dust flops on the floor, but I just do that first and then I vacuum. But now I'm like, oh, but if a microfiber cloth would actually grab it, that would be
microfiber
better.
Microfiber duster.
Duster. Okay, so we're going to Google this after. You're blowing our mind.
Well, Becky, the last question I want to ask you is something that we asked another cleaning pro that we interviewed earlier, and we wanted her to leave our listeners with a piece of advice that, you know, in the last 5 or 10 minutes that they're listening to our podcast, if they could just go do one cleaning task to make their home have some progress, what would you recommend they go do right now?
I would choose a surface and clean it off. So it could be that countertop by your phone where you've got a little stack of papers or mail or school stuff for your kids. It could be your kitchen table. It could be your bathroom counter. Just choose one space. Take everything off of it. Throw it in a bag if you have to. Wipe it down and then put back what can go back and put the other things away. I think sometimes just a little surface cleaning, a little white space can spur on a desire for another surface. And, you know, then tomorrow choose another small spot where that you can clean off, and just tackling one a day, I think, is definitely a great way to start.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all your tips with us.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Bye.
If you guys want to check out more about Clean Mama, we'll put a link to her website in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast, where you can see a bunch more of her tips, recipes, and even some of her cleaning printables. And we'll also throw in a link to her new book, Simply Clean.
Okay, and now we've got some more digging for you guys, but first we have to take a quick break. This week's episode is brought to you by Modsy, who's actually making it possible to virtually try on furniture and home accessories before you buy them.
Yeah, you just provide 2 measurements and a few quick photos of your space, and Modsy will create a super lifelike 2-scale 3D model of your room, and even suggest 2 full design plans for you, so you can see what real furniture from real stores would look like in your real space. And it's all for as little as $69.
Yep, you can even edit, rearrange, and swap out items until you've got the room looking exactly like you want it.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up from a plain old mood board or floor plan. So we wanted to hear how Modsy's founder, Shauna Tellerman, got the idea.
So my husband and I moved into a new apartment, and I spent hours kind of down the wormhole of Pinterest and Houzz, and I was looking through a catalog, and I was like, this is what I wish I could be doing, shopping from beautiful images where everything's already staged, but I just wish it was all in my own home. And I have a long background in 3D graphics, and I knew it was possible to build these catalog-like beautiful images where everything would be staged in your house.
To see how it all works, head over to modsy.com/YHL, where we had fun seeing how they reimagined our home office into a modern living room using their 3D technology. It's crazy how real it looks. And don't forget to use code YHL20 to get 20% off your first Modsy order. Again, that's all at modsy.com/YHL. I can tell Sherry's like getting ready to dance so that we're digging music.
Hit me with my favorite track.
DJ, drop the beat.
Right now. This week, I'm digging more of like a philosophy. It's a lifestyle.
Here we go.
It probably ties back to that whole simplicity parenting thing, which rocked my world when I was on vacation. And that was episode
45,
for anyone who wants to go back and listen to it. But we discovered on vacation our kids played really deeply with things that were super interactive, but not battery and plastic and light up, like Play-Doh. Simple things. So another part of that philosophy is kids being outside. They talk about how time to unwind and explore and discover and be creative. Making up games with nothing but a stick is very creative versus being given a game that you follow to the letter. It's not super creative to just follow instructions. And so what I walked away from that book thinking was, I want to get the kids outside more. It's so good. The fresh air, everybody playing in the backyard. We love this house for its location and the wooded lot and all the fun stuff we can do outside. And I don't think we've really been optimizing that. We've always debated a big like playset and thought there's not really enough room for something like that.
Yeah, at one point, the neighbor who lives directly behind us offered us their old playset because their daughter had outgrown it. And we like trudged through the woods and looked at it and we're kind of like, I don't know where we put this.
Yeah, we like brought our tape measure and we're like, I don't know how someone wouldn't swing into the deck railing. Like, how do we make this work on our lot? But lately I've been thinking how you don't need to say we can't fit a playset so we can't have anything. I think we can be creative. And I think things like just a wood swing from a tree. We have tons of trees with sturdy branches. Just a hammock between two trees that our daughter, who is loving reading lately, she went outside yesterday to read in a chair that was sitting in the sun. And she was saying it was really too hot, so she came back inside. And I kept thinking, if there was a hammock sort of in the shady part of our backyard, she'd probably read for an hour in it. And I think the novelty of a hammock would be fun for her too. It might attract her outside more. It might seem more novel to read in a hammock than in a chair in the house, all the other places she reads.
Come on, chairs are fun.
Chairs can be cool
too. Get yourself
too.
A poang. It's fun to say. It's fun to sit in.
So lately I've been doing this thing where I find things on Amazon. I put them in my cart and I don't buy them yet because I'm truly weighing what I think will get the most use and what makes the most sense. And I also don't want to be that crazy person who's like, I want to get my kids outside more. And then I go spend $500 on things right. to get them outside.
Plus our credit card's been frozen.
So just with summer approaching and not wanting to spoil everyone and get all these things, but I did think it might be a fun treat to get them like a little wooden rope swing. You know, those are like $30 tops. And I am a weirdo on Amazon. I like to shop there because I can look at the ratings. And there are some swings that have like 5-star ratings and they're like under $30. There's also these things called web swings. I don't know if you can picture a hula hoop that's been like crocheted in the middle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So they're big, like two kids could lay on it, sort of like a hammock and read that you can spin them like a tire swing.
Much like Sky Island.
It is like Sky Island. Our friend has Sky Island. It's like a hammock with a spider swing hanging off of it, like a rope swing.
Yeah, it's like a freestanding thing you could put anywhere.
And it's like $400 when it's on sale. Like it is the most expensive thing.
But it's literally called Sky Island
Sky
in the catalog.
Island. And but the kids love it. It's on their deck and it like draws children over like a moth to a flame. There's a really nice hammock I've had my eye on. It's green and blue. I'm a sucker for a nice design on a hammock. Actually, we always had rope hammocks.
Yeah.
But what I'm reading in the ratings on Amazon, I'm learning those ones with a pad on top seem to be preferred. And so when you lay in it, you don't get like the webbing in your back.
Isn't that kind of the joy of a hammock? Like the comfort, but also a little bit of the pain.
And then, see, this I think takes away the pain. And so a hammock is only comfort. The point is, I have like 30 options in my shopping cart. Of which I'll buy one, but I'll share a bunch of them for you guys in case you're looking for something outside that's not a whole hog playset type investment in space and money, but might just add a little bit of fun to the backyard.
Well, for me this week, I'm digging something on Instagram, but I have to tell a little bit of a story before I get into it.
Settle in, guys.
It's not that long, hopefully. So I got a text from one of my friends the other day who was asking for advice because his teenage daughter had started an Instagram account that had been growing relatively quickly. And so he sent me her handle. And she was starting this slime account.
You heard that right.
Slime.
Slime.
Which she said is very big with teenagers. And it's kind of like gooey, sticky gel type stuff that she takes these videos of herself making and mixing and putting glitter in. And
she did gold leaf in it. She just goes to like the craft store and finds cool stuff and adds it.
Yeah, I honestly don't totally understand it. I think I'm too old for it. But she started her account in October and already has over 100,000 followers on it and growing.
Like every day. 100,015 the other day. Like it's insane.
I will put a link to it in the show notes in case you would like to be part of her growth. But he was just asking sort of for some tips about how she manages and stuff because he knows that we do this kind of thing.
And we're like, listen, she's much bigger than we are.
Yeah. Could I have some tips from her, please? She's clearly put in some thought and some effort to how consistently and how well to do this and how to actually get this following and to grow her account. But it also, here's the part that I'm getting to, it reminded me that I actually love accounts like this.
Yeah, John will sit there and nerd out for hours.
I will stop at every video. And I realize it falls in line just with these other videos that I used to watch, sometimes with the kids, like of paint mixing, like people will just...
Yeah, just like blob paint together with like a spatula.
Yeah, they'll put out like a few colors and with a little like painter's knife. What do you call that?
Yeah, I think it's a palette knife.
A palette knife, like just blend these things very slowly. They're very soothing. I also love watching like handwriting and calligraphy. calligraphy.
Yes. I love computer calligraphy. That's my new favorite because you can watch them make it and like straighten it out and use all the, it's like matches.
Oh, when you do it on like an iPad?
Yes. It mixes my nerdy love of Photoshop with beautiful handwritten design and it's like impeccable. It looks like a font when they're done.
It is so mesmerizing, all of these things. And so I realized from some of her hashtags that this is a thing on Instagram, these kind of like soothing meditative videos of just these basic actions, I guess.
What John's trying to say is he's going to start an applesauce mixing account where you just watch him add cinnamon to applesauce, maybe some oats to applesauce, just a whole bunch
of
things.
It'll be my smoothie account. If me putting my smoothie ingredients.
Make a smoothie account.
It'd be the same thing every day. And no, this takes too much work. I'm not starting a new account. But I'll put a link to some of these accounts in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast so you can see what I mean. And if you have any you like, please tell me because clearly I'm a sucker for them.
So I can lay in bed next to you and you can be like, oh, I already watched this slime video because that is literally a sentence that came out of his mouth last night. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast. You're the doxta to our Stockholm. Maybe you're the Stockholm to our doxta.
Either way, if you don't want to miss our next episode, make sure that you're subscribed in your favorite podcast app. It just takes a click of a button and it'll deliver new episodes to your phone for free right when they're released. Consider it one less thing to remember each week.
And keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like Carly D on Twitter, who listened while cutting millions of strips of tulle for a sweet little crib skirt she's making.
And check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode, like links to Clean Mama's favorite cleaning tools and recipes.
And a sneak peek at some of the tile we ordered for the beach house.
Later.
Bye. And 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4. What if we decided that this podcast was a dancing podcast, but it was not visual? So I'd be like, guys, I'm going to do a new dance for you today. And 1, 2, 3, spin, 5, 6, 7, 8, and pop, that. Hit, really hit, enunciate okay. The movements.
Can and you enunciate done with movement? This. Done with this. Moving on.